Stay tuned for The Lynn Show. Today, I'm airing an interview with the amazing, unique, spectacular, unusual Brenda Waddy. Brenda, who was part of The Toys, The Mystique, and The Marvelettes, three very big girl groups of the 60s. You probably know that West Coast Black Theater Troupe's next show is called Girl Groups of the 60s. And as a special event around that production, Brenda will be, and you'll hear her talk about it, presenting an evening in which she will talk about the music business and the 60s, as she says, the dirt. She'll be singing and telling stories. And in this interview, Brenda talks about her life, how she wound up as a Marvelette, and what she's doing now. Also in this show, I'm playing four songs recorded by the Marvelettes. And we're going to open the show, actually, with Don't Mess With Bill, one of their major hits, and three more throughout the show. So it's a great show, and even if I didn't play these amazing songs, Brenda is worth listening to. You would want to hear Brenda's story. And come out and see Girl Groups of the 60s, and also come out and see Brenda everywhere that she is, because she's amazingly worth seeing. So hang on. Here come the show.
Hearing from an inner voice, finding choice where there's no choice, with gentle prodding from the voice. Oh, you really can. Deeper, deeper down
don't mess with mission. I want to be sure as can be. Hear the Lord say, hey, girls, keep away.
Hello, and welcome to The Lynn Show. There you have Don't Mess With Bill by the Marvelous Marvelettes. And as I said in the run-up in this show, I'm interviewing the marvelous Brenda Waddy. The Lynn Show is about being the person you really are. Not the person you think you're supposed to be. Not the person that's going to get someone else to love you or hire you or pay you or want to be with you. Not the person other people think you should be or said you should be or told you should be. No, the person you really are. It may not sound difficult. Well, actually, I know that you know. It is difficult. So many of us have been forced by our childhoods to give up parts of ourselves because they didn't go down well with our family of origin or our teacher or our playmates or our religious organization or our cultural organization. Something about us brought a criticism, a neglect, sometimes even trauma. And so we found ways to give up parts of ourselves. In my show, I interview people who make their living or their life within art because when you listen to them, you can hear what it sounds like to be the person you really are. And as a therapist, I understand, first, how difficult that can be for some people, and second, how much better life is when you are being the person you really are, when you don't have to pretend, when you're not embarrassed about aspects of yourself which you think you need to keep under wraps. So in this show, I'm interviewing, as I have said several times, the marvelous Brenda Waddy, who is exactly who she is, and who is always exactly who she is. Brenda understood that she was a singer from the beginning, and she held on to that knowledge, even though her mother decided she should be a dancer, and then her mother decided she should go to college and study something else that she could make money at. Brenda held on to herself. Listen to her talk about how she held on to her instinctive understanding that she couldn't eat meat. And I'm not going to give that away because it's very delightful. But from the very beginning, Brenda knew exactly who she was, and she held on to it for dear life. And it became her life. And when you listen to Brenda, you can hear the exuberance, the passion, the connection. It's all there. And although it may not always be an easy life, you can hear that Brenda would do nothing else. And even when she had to take a hiatus, she ran right back the minute that she could. So we're going to listen to another Marvelette song, and then I'm going to play my interview with the marvelous Brenda Waddy. I just keep saying it because it's so true. We're going to hear Please, Mr. Postman, another smash hit for the Marvelettes, and then my interview with Brenda.
My boyfriend's so
Okay, so I'm here with Brenda Waddy.
Hi, I'm here.
Yes, you are. Yes. And I'm interviewing Brenda at this time because she has two upcoming gigs.
Mm-hmm. February the 5th and 6th at the West Coast Black Theater, 7:30 p.m.
Yeah, tell what that is.
Yeah, what happens is the West Coast Black Theater is doing a play of girl groups of the 60s. Since I was in three girl groups of the 60s, I started with the Toys, mm-hmm. who did songs called The Lover's Concerto. Gentle is the rain that falls softly on the meadow. And then I did a second one was Musique. They did Push, Push in the Bush. You know you've got to get down. Uh-oh. It's kind of a fresh song. And then I wind it up for 15, 16, 17 years, actually, with the Marvelettes. Please, Mr. Postman. Oh, and yeah. Don't Mess with Bill. Darling Forever. Beachwood 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. So they knew that I was in town. And my friend of mine, Juanita Cook, had gone to a party. And they were doing some doo-wop. And then Nate Jacobs, which is the director, musical director of the West Coast Black Theater, said Juanita told him that I lived in town.
Uh-huh.
So he reached out to me, called me, and asked him would I do this series called Voices. And that's what this is. It's an interview about my life with the Marvelettes and other girl groups, and I'll be singing and telling stories,
yeah,
some dirt, about what went on the road with the Marvelettes.
Lovely, lovely. Okay, and so the other gig is
Ladies Are Love. Mm-hmm. Ladies Are Love is going to be at the Blue Rooster February the 12th, mm-hmm. at 6 o'clock till 9:30. And that's all kind of rhythm and blues, reggae, pop, rock and roll, all kinds of music.
And a little jazz.
And a little.
Very little.
Very little jazz.
I know,
yeah. Right. And that's going to be myself, Lauren Mitchell, Chantel Norman, Debbie Opie, Carlos Beck, and the guys in the band.
Right. We don't care.
They're good. Yeah. Okay. It's the girls' rule.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I only interview people who make their living or their life with an art.
That's all I do.
That's all you do. I know that's all you do. I know that's all you have ever done.
That's all I've ever done.
Right.
I did have a corporate job when I got married because my husband hated me being on the road.
Wait. We'll get there. Okay. So.
Didn't last long.
So. The art to which you have clearly given your life is the art of singing and music.
Yes.
Okay. So I only ask one question, mm-hmm. and it is, do you remember the very first moment in your life when you thought music was a good thing, that you wanted to sing, people said you could sing, mm-hmm. you were drawn to it, any of that?
Oh, yes. When I was growing up as a child, I had two sisters, mm-hmm. Tanya and Barbara. So I was the musical director of our little thing, you know, because my mother used to belong to a club, females, and I used to orchestrate shows for them.
How old?
Eight? Six,
and
seven,
how
eight?
Old are they?
My
sisters?
One's older, one's younger.
Okay.
So, and we're 1 year apart.
Oh, okay.
And I used to make up songs, and then she would call us out, my girls are going to do a show. And so we would run out there, and I would have rehearsed them already, and then we'd do their little songs. We may be Mary at a little at anything, you know.
Right, right.
And then any ice cream man, I would make up songs for the ice cream man to get free ice cream because we were not very wealthy. And then, Al, my good old pal, he was the ice cream man. And then he would not charge my sisters and I for ice cream because we sang for him.
So are you saying that early in life, you learned that you could use this skill, this singing and songwriting, to get stuff?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Pretty much.
That's amazing.
Well, you know, when you live and you are not very wealthy, you find your gift comes out.
Well, some people's gift comes out. Not everybody's gift. But
yeah,
your
that
gift.
My gift did.
Yes, your gift absolutely did.
It did.
Okay, so this is what you're doing as a young girl.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any kind of lessons? Did you have music?
Well, what happens is then I went to college.
Oh, no, wait. Well, that's long before college. What was going on in elementary
school? Oh, in childhood?
No,
I just sang wherever I could.
Wherever you could.
Around the house. Went to, like, I was a hippie at that time, so I was into rock.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I would go to everything, all shows, every weekend, going to a show, listen to music. I listened to music all day, all night, all day. That's how I did.
Yeah.
Breathe
okay,
music.
I understand. But you never had any lessons.
Never.
You had piano lessons,
not this.
Voice lessons,
no.
Right? No, okay.
My mother wanted me to dance.
She wanted you to dance. So did you have dance lessons?
Yes. It was awful. I was terrible.
No.
I wanted to sing. My sister played piano, and she gets me to be a dancer.
Your mother just decided who everybody was.
Right. Tanya's going to play piano. You're going to dance. I'm a singer, mother. She didn't care.
No, well, so, okay, good. All right, okay. So then, elementary school, high school, you're just inundated by music, everything you can hear, everything you can find, everything you can, right? And you're singing at the drop of a whatever, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you did go to college.
Yes.
What did you major in?
Special education.
Okay, so slow back.
That's slow back here.
So at any point, were you thinking career in music?
Always.
Singing?
Yes.
So why did
My mother!
I see. Oh, yes.
You're not going to make it as a singer. You have to have something to fall back on. You got to go to college.
Well, you certainly weren't going to make it as a dancer. Right.
That's for sure. And then I joined the gospel group, gospel in college.
Okay. So you're majoring in special education. It's very smart.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a gospel group in college.
Yes.
And you join it.
Gospel choir.
Gospel choir. Mm-hmm. And you join it.
I joined.
Just because you have to sing.
I want to sing.
Right, okay.
Right.
And so what happened?
I toured with them. We went everywhere singing gospel music for years, as long as I was there anyway.
In college. But still you're majoring in
special education.
Right. So did you graduate?
I never graduated. So I gotten fed up and I said, I don't care, mother. I'm moving to New York.
Wow. And when was that?
I guess it was 1970.
No, I don't actually mean that. I mean, when in your college career?
2 years I went.
You went 2 years?
And then I says, you know what, I want to sing. I want to perform.
Yes, you
did. You know, so I left, told my mother I'm moving to New York. I had a child at that point. I had a child at 19.
Wow.
And her father passed away. So my mother says she knew my dream. She says she would raise my child for me to go follow my dream.
Wow. Well, she came through in the end.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes. Well, and thank you, mother.
Thank you, mother, too.
Really, really. No kidding. Okay, so you moved to New York. How old are you?
What, 21.
19, 21.
21.
You're 21. And you moved to the big city.
I did.
Right? And then what happened?
Well, what happens, I met this guy at a party, Michael.
Of course.
Yes. In Baltimore.
Oh.
And he said he lived in New York. And I said, well, I want to move there. He said, you could come stay on my sofa.
Ah.
Was that good?
Yes.
So I packed up my little bag and I lived in 34th Street in the lockers for about 2 years.
What do you mean in the lockers?
And 34th Street at that time had lockers where you could keep your clothes in.
Oh my God.
So I had the key.
Right.
I would go, I put my clothes, took the train, took my clothes, put it in that locker, went to Michael's house, stepped on his sofa. Yes.
Right.
Go back to the locker, put my money in there, and go back and forth every day to pay my money, get some new clean clothes out, and I lived in that locker for 2 years.
Oh my goodness.
2 years I stayed.
Okay, and in that, well, and in that 2 years, what were you doing?
I was looking for work as a singer.
Yeah.
I started working odd jobs, mm-hmm. but always trying to find the Village Voice paper, looking for something. And then I went to a party and met one of the toys at a party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because a guy lived across the street from me on Amsterdam said, listen, I'm having some people. Maybe you want to come over. He knew I was an aspiring singer. And I go there, and Barbara Toomer was her name, and she still is original toy, says, well, we're looking for someone with the toys because Barbara Harris is no longer going to do it. And I say, I can sing, you know. I really couldn't. I had a voice, but not professional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so different, you know, because you're a singer too. So she said, well, you got to meet June Montero. She's the leader of our group with the toys. So I went out to Queens, met June. I sang for her. She thought I was awful. And
really?
She did. And she says, but you got good spunk. You want to learn. So she became my vocal coach for 10 years.
Wow.
10 years.
Oh, my God.
And I started singing with the toys.
So
I went to her house every day, though.
You went to our house every day?
Every day.
So you started singing with the toys right away?
Right away.
Right away.
I was there maybe 7 or 8 months in New York before I met them.
Oh, my God. And so at the same time that you're singing already with them, she's training you.
She's training me.
And you're working your ass off.
I'm working. Every day I went to her house.
Yeah.
And I lived in Manhattan. She lived in Queens.
Yeah, right.
And I was working at Jack LaLanne. But it was a great job for me because they were very lenient with anything I had to do. And I worked in the front at sitting, you know, getting people coming, trying to join. And then I would get off of there and go right to her house in Queens every day.
And so did you guys travel?
Yes, we traveled. We did shows and we did pictures. And then then I stayed with them for about 5 or 10 years. And then we were working at that time for Banner Talent. They are they booked everyone, the Marvelettes, the Coasters, the Drifters, the Platters, everybody. So they saw me and they liked what I did, so they asked me to join Musique.
Oh.
So that's how I got involved with Musique.
So did the toys mind?
No, yeah, they didn't mind because they were working a lot.
Oh, no.
So but even though I did with them, I still went to my lesson.
To continue to study.
Yeah, because I needed harmonies. I needed to know how to lead. I needed all of that kind
of stuff. So she wasn't just teaching you voice.
She was teaching me everything.
Wow.
She was really, really, and today I owe her everything.
No kidding.
Because she really, she saw something in me, and then she did not give up. And she said, well, I'm going to teach you, and she taught me. And then Band of Talent also booked the Marvelettes, the Drift, the Coasters, the Sherelle, Martha Reeves, all of them.
Right.
So then Musique died. They asked me, would I be in the Marvelettes?
I see. And that's why did the Musique die?
It was the 70s. Push. Yeah. It was disco, right. And that was it.
Oh, yeah, they were, I got it. Okay, no, it was over. So Banner Talent?
Banner Talent.
Yeah, so they just kept getting you work.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, so then it's the Marvelettes. And, of course, the Marvelettes is a big deal.
Yes,
the Marvelettes is one of the biggest groups that there was, right?
It was.
Okay, so how long were you with them?
About 17 years.
Really?
I stayed with them a long time.
You stayed with them
I've been everywhere, over the world, Europe, on tour with Ricky Nelson of the Ozzy and Harry Show, Damon Wilson of Sanford and Son. I went with Bo Diddley, Chuck Berry, the original Temptations, the original Four Tops, Sherelle, Mary Wells, everybody.
Wow.
Because Dick Clark used to put us on all of his tours.
Right.
So I've been every crack and cranny of this world.
Wow.
Seeing the Marvelettes. Yes.
So you were right.
Mm-hmm. I was right about singing, but it wasn't for, it was really June though, because people think they can sing, but then when you get with some people that really can sing, you find out you really can't sing. You have a voice,
right,
but you're not cultivated.
No.
And she really cultivated me.
Yeah.
She really, really did.
Yeah, and she did amazing stuff with you, because I'm always amazed at what you can do.
Oh, thank you.
No, really.
She's really, really, she's the hold my mouth up. Good. It's gotta be all right. Good. I mean, make me sing the same thing over for at least a half an hour.
My God.
Over again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. But it really gave me that discipline also vocally, because a lot of people don't realize the vocal can do so much.
Yeah.
But we don't.
But tell me.
All right. So let's say that you're somewhere and you're singing. A lot of people maybe just singing, hey. They don't go to those high notes.
Right.
They just say, I love you. Ooh. Yeah. They never go to those notes.
Yeah, right.
But your voice can go there, because most people, vocalists, play it safe.
Yes, it's true.
I don't play it safe.
No, God knows you don't. You don't play it safe about anything.
No, I don't.
No, you don't. No, we don't, but that's a whole
play
other story.
Play safe, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's another interview.
Right. Okay, so during the time that you're with the Marvelettes, where are you living? What are you doing with the
rest of your life? Well, what happens, I live in New York City. And
come in your own place and not a locker.
Not a locker. I finally got my own place, several different places.
Yeah,
and I wind up on, my last place was on 50th and 2nd Avenue. Then I moved to L.A.
Yeah. Oh, tell me about that.
Because that's where Motown was headed. They had their office there. They weren't in Detroit anymore.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, no. The Hitsville is in Detroit. But Motown moved their everything out to Los Angeles
when?
In the 80s.
In the 80s?
In the 80s. They never went in Detroit anymore, ever.
Too cold.
Too cold. Yeah, so I moved out to L.A. and I started singing with David Winters. But still with the Marvelettes. We were kind of touring with him until we started doing the Marvelette thing again. Because not only did the Marvelettes sing by themselves, we sang with Damon Wilson of the Sanford Son. We did their backup. Because we did the vaudeville tours. And what happens is whoever was the star, they needed backgrounds. We do the backgrounds.
Right.
You know, so
oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's how we did it.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck Berry, Ricky, now everyone.
So you were working all the time.
All the time.
You either were a Marvelette or you were a
background
singer,
with
right?
them.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Wow,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So what happened in L.A.?
So I moved to L.A. with H.B. Barnum. He had a big house up on Mulholland Drive. He still lives there. That's Aretha Franklin's musical director and still is her musical director. So he says, guys, come out to L.A. We'll get you work. That's how he got us work with Damon Wilson. Studio work. We started going to record our own stuff again. So that really never happened. So we started touring with David Winters. He did a song, and it's very, you can Google this, Old Lady Mary. Very famous song in Europe. So we started touring with him, and after that, we broke up, the Marvelettes. We just stopped working. Then.
Was there a fight?
No fight. No, it's just twiddles, you know?
Yeah.
Like, even now, the Marvelettes really don't work anymore because mostly people in that era, they're dead.
Yeah. But there are, there's comeback stuff.
There's reviews.
Right.
Oh. And stuff like that. Let's say, really, only Wanda and Gladys, I mean, not Gladys because she just died a year ago, Catherine, they're really the only originals left. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, people can do review. They just won the name the Marvelettes in a court battle because Larry Marshak, I don't know if you ever heard of him.
I have.
Okay. He won that name from Berry Gordy and Motown through a lawsuit. So Berry Gordy allowed him at that time to use the name Marvelettes, and that's how you would make your money that the suit came about, which was bad for Gladys and Gladys, Wanda, and Catherine. It was not good for them because they really couldn't use the name The Marvelettes because somebody else owns it.
Right.
And so I kind of fault Larry Marshak for that because I worked for him myself. But it really was Motown.
Yeah, sure it was. He gave it away.
They gave it away.
Right.
So if any fight should have been Motown. Now Bowser, he's the one who did the plight on trying to get Marvelettes and people to stop using the names, and that's how he got Catherine to win the name back from Larry. Eventually.
Who's Bowser?
Bowser was Sha-na-na.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
He was the one who's heading fake Drifters, fake Marvelettes. And really, they're not fake because what happens is people still wanted to hear that music, but they were not allowed to work. And that's not even because Catherine had a child that needed special care, special needs child. Wanda had moved to Japan with her husband, who used to be one of the, what's it called? Miracles? What's the Miracles? Oh my God, I can't think of the name of it.
Mm. Another group.
Smokey Robinson and the Miracle. He was a miracle, but right. He was one of the background singers. And then Catherine got married. She didn't work no more.
Right.
So. Okay.
Right, there wasn't anybody.
There was no Marvelettes.
Right.
So that's how Larry Marshak came about.
Right.
Through that.
Okay, yeah. But then, so now recently they have won it back. Does that mean they're going on the road?
No. And Catherine and I, you know, we inbox each other on Facebook. She wanted me and, two other ladies to do something called The Marvelettes Revolved.
Yeah, oh.
Right, to redo the songs and come back out. Of course, she would make her 2% off of that. It just never happened. It never happened.
But it may still.
Yeah, it may still. You know, that's what she wants now that she owns the name.
Yeah, of course. It'd be silly to have done all that work to get the name and then not do anything
She's right now, she's not doing anything with it. Yeah,
but we're still all alive.
Yeah, we're still alive. As long as we're above ground, we can still do it.
That is correct. That is correct. And you can do it. I mean, your voice never quits.
No.
No.
And my voice fits so well in that sound of the Marvelettes. It did. It did.
All right, good. So, all right, L.A. and
it fizzled out. No more Marvelettes.
No more Marvelettes.
I moved back to New York.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I moved back to New York, and then I just started doing my own thing. And then I the Marvelettes had started working again, and then we did the resorts. And that's how I met my husband.
In a resort?
No, he was the chief inspector of athletics for the state of New Jersey. So in between shows, we was opening up for Ricky Nelson of the Ozzie and Harry show that night. And I said, well, I'm going to go to a boxing match. And there he was. And I married him. Not that day, but a year later.
I see. Mm-hmm. I see. And so,
but I'm divorced now.
But you were living in New York with him.
I was living in, at that time, I was just moved to Jersey.
With him?
No, by myself.
By yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so.
And then I lived the Marvelettes out of Jersey. Because, you know, you fly everywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where you live. Right, okay, good. So now you're married and you're still. Well, wait a minute. So you moved back from L.A. to New York. Mm-hmm. You met your husband.
I didn't meet my husband in New York. I met him. Did I meet Sylvester? No, I met him when I lived in Jersey. All right, let's back it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I moved back to New York and I started dating this Puerto Rican. Ricky, I forgot about him. And I had another child. I had Raquel. So I have two girls. That's it. And he and I moved to Jersey.
Right.
But it wasn't really working out because Puerto Ricans, I love Puerto Ricans, don't get me wrong, but men, Puerto Ricans are very, very possessive. Very possessive. And I'm in the musical business, it didn't work.
And you're not looking at Brenda, but she's one of the sexiest women I have ever met.
All right, now. I'm sexy and I know it.
She is. And so I'm sure that that didn't help with the jealousy, right?
No.
Right.
So I was on the road singing with the Marvelettes. I was still with Ricky, and I met Sylvester. So I left him.
Good girl.
And I married
Well, he was right to be jealous.
He was right, yeah. But I wouldn't have if he wasn't like that. Because he was a nice guy. I had a child with him, you know, my daughter. And so, but then I married Sylvester, and then I moved to Jersey. That's how I got in Jersey. And I started singing with the Marvelettes. I was still singing with the Marvelettes. And he didn't like it.
Well, Sylvester didn't like it.
Another one.
Another one. Boy, these guys are,
They want you. It's me or the music.
Yeah, right. Well, they love it when they're dating
When they met you.
Right.
Right. Not they married to you. That's another story. So I quit the Marvelettes. And then I stayed home as a housewife.
Wow.
Yes,
it's hard for me to imagine.
I did because I loved him.
Yes,
and
I
figured
understand. And you'd had a long
career.
Oh,
my goodness.
I mean, it's not like you had years and years and years of it by then, right?
Right.
So, okay.
So I married him, and then I stayed with him 17 years. And then it was just like, really? I got to sing. So I started sneaking out singing with bands.
You're kidding.
I did. And, you know, and then it was like, I can't do it. And then he was like, we just became, drew further and further apart.
Yeah.
So I divorced him.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, right.
And I started singing again.
Yes.
Full time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I worked for hotels in that place. I was working for the Marriott and Westin Hotel, HR manager. That's how I found out about Sarasota.
You were working a straight job.
A straight job.
Right.
Corporate America. And I was so good at it because I'm already in the entertainment business.
Yes,
so, you
right.
know, everybody loved me. Hey, Josie. Hi. Oh, yes. How's the children? You know, they love that.
Okay. So you're working.
Right. So I was working corporate America. I was Westin, the Marriott, and I was HR manager. At first, I started as a hostess, but, you know, I was so good.
Yes.
Then I became the restaurant supervisor. Then HR opened up, and I was like, you know, I had a child, so I didn't want to be at the restaurants and bars and all that stuff. Late.
Right.
So HR was Monday through Friday. So it was perfect. She gave me an opportunity. I know nothing about computers or nothing. But she sent me to classes and I was like, excellent.
Yes.
Excellent HR because I'm a people's person.
You are.
Yes. So that's that. And then I married my husband and then we got divorced, yada, yada, yada. And then I started sneaking out singing with the Keith Lesnick Orchestra. Oh my God, I love them. But I had to, that time they had phone booths. So I'm on the phone booth calling him, where's the rehearsal? Because my husband could know nothing about it.
Oh my God.
I know. It's like cheating,
yeah.
You know? So that didn't work out. I moved and then I started singing with the Marvelettes again.
Oh.
After I divorced my husband.
They're still out there.
They're still working. I called him. I said, I'm not working right now. I'm divorced. So I started singing with them. And that was in 2005, 6.
Wow.
Yeah. I started singing with them again. And then I was like, you know what? I want to do my own thing. You know, so I did that. I'm still working for corporate America. So I retired with them when I was 62. And I sold my house, and then I moved to Sarasota.
Why?
Because.
Yes.
Right. No, because I worked for Hyatt, and Hyatt had free rooms, and Sarasota was on one of the rosters, so I came in vacationed.
Oh.
So that's how I found out about Sarasota. It was like on the roster.
Yeah.
And Sarasota, where is that? Fell in love, loved the beaches and everything. I said, so when I retire, I'm moving here.
Wow.
And I did.
So when did you move here?
2000, and I've been here 6 years. So when was that?
2010?
Yeah.
2011,
2011. So I've been here 6 years.
Okay. So had you begun what I now know you as, which is a single performer.
Mm-hmm.
So had you begun that before?
So when my goal was, when I come here to find a place, I did. I found a lovely home. I said, I'm going to go out every night and do open mics.
Right.
So I would get dressed up, and wherever the open mics were, I would go. And so I started establishing myself, finding out musicians, and so that's what I did. And so I met Jim Brenner, who heard me at the, it used to be called the Floridian. It's no longer there. And I was there singing with the Metro Band. They're not there and they're not even playing anymore. And so when he saw me, he liked me so much, he and I started doing a duet together. And that's how I started working at the Vineyard. So I started working at the Vineyard, started building up my act, doing tracks, and then I met other musicians that I went on Craigslist and found other gigs. And I was
on Craigslist?
On Craigslist, I found the Temptations.
What?
Yeah, because what happens is Glenn Leonard of the original Temptations, well, he came in after Eddie Kendricks, was looking to do Hitsville, USA. So I was doing the open mic. So this guy heard me down in Flounders in Inglewood, found out about me, they contacted somebody to contact me, and they called me and told me Glenn needed another singer, so I auditioned and started going on tour with Glenn of the Temptations.
Wow.
Yeah, I even found the band that I'm in now, God, I love it, on Craigslist.
You're kidding.
I go on Craigslist all the time for music. Background vocals, all kinds of stuff like that. It's really? Always stuff on Craigslist. Local for Craigslist. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm singing in a band, and we'll call God'll Love It. I'm singing tomorrow night. Well, I don't want to put that there because this may not air by that time. But I sing
it. No, it's okay. You can say it. It won't matter.
Okay. I sing it at Flowers in Inglewood. That's going to be Thursday, which is tomorrow. Then I'm singing in Port Charlotte. Then I'm singing stage at Bonita Springs. So the band that I'm with, God'll Love It, we work all the time. It's rock and roll. Mm-hmm. Some rhythm and blues, some Motown, but mainly rock and roll. And then I sing with, jazz. I sing with the Ocean's 11. I sing with Brian Post. So, I got out here and I hustled and I started
working all the time.
I'm working all the time.
Yeah. This is, you are a role model. You are an icon. Everybody should have somebody like you in their life. It's astonishing. Right. Okay, so do you have any things you want to do that you haven't done or that you're planning to do or that is on your mind?
I would love to get married again.
Are you listening?
Yes, there's a single man out there.
Yeah, she's available.
I do wouldn't mind. I like being alone, but I don't like being lonely. And I would like, a companion, somebody that I can share my life with, but I'm very, very selfish. I'm letting everybody know that right now. I am selfish. Because I like what I like, and I want what I want.
And so you're old enough now.
I'm 67.
Yeah, well, you're old enough now.
I can't take it.
Right.
My patience is like that.
Yeah,
what?
Right.
I can't put up with much either.
No, and you should.
I need a slave. Somebody that I tell what to do, and most men are not like that.
No, but that's why you have four dogs.
Yeah, I have four dogs. Yeah. Get over here, Sam. They're
right,
perfect names.
Yeah. Stand up, right. I know.
That's what I need in a man.
I know. Yeah.
But the men don't come like that.
Well, if you're out there.
And you'd like to be pushed around and talked around.
Yeah, but she's worth it. She's absolutely worth it. Yes. Yeah, right? Okay, so I generally... Well, let me ask you. Is there anything I haven't asked you? Is there something that you would like to say to the world that
no,
I am?
No, just come and check out the shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to really, really enjoy them. Now, not just because I'm on it, but just because it'll be entertaining.
Yeah, in actual fact, it's just because Brenda is on it. She's really worth seeing.
Thank you.
So, do you have a website?
I do not. My band does, though, called GottaLoveItBand.com. GottaLoveItBand.com. But you can go on that website and find it. But I put most of my stuff up on Facebook.
Okay.
So you can go Brenda, WATTY, friend me. And then if you want to know what I'm doing, everything is on Facebook.
Okay.
I don't find it need a website anymore.
No.
First of all, I'm not emailing anyone because you have to find everyone's email address. I'm not doing it. Come on Facebook. I can invite you for anything on there. And that's what I use.
That's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
It's very smart. I haven't quite gone there
yet. I'm always on Facebook.
Yeah.
If the police is after me, they would know exactly how to get me. Because I'm on Facebook.
There's no chance.
No.
There's absolutely no chance.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to talk a little bit about the raw food?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. I'm a raw.
When did that start?
All right, first of all, I'm a rawist. When I lived in New York City, before I married my husband, I was a rawist. So then I got...
How did that start?
I just never liked meat. I've been a vegetarian since I'm like 19, 18, 19.
Okay, but there's a big difference between vegetarian and raw.
Well, I stopped eating meat when I was 17.
Right.
Maybe even before that because I never liked it. I never liked eating flesh. I didn't like eating animals. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it always like get caught in my esophagus and I could never get it down. And then so thank God I had a dog at that time and I would just put my hand on the table and he would eat everything out of my hand. My parents, they thinking I'm eating. I'm like, mm-hmm.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they eat everything. He's right there. And he's sitting right there beside me.
Yeah.
So, and then when I became, my parents hated it.
They hated your vegetarianism.
Yes.
Yeah, because they were
Southern. Yeah, you better eat them black eyed peas and rice and hog mugs and chitlins. That's how we ate.
Right.
And I didn't like it. Yeah. No. So when I became old enough to say no.
Right.
I never ate meat again. And I was 19.
Okay.
And from that point on, I became just a vegetarian, eating still pastas and cheese and dairy. Then I became a vegan.
Yeah.
No dairy. Then I became a raw when I moved to New York City because raw especially in big cities, are very, very popular. And so then I got married to my husband, and I started cooking again, but never eating fish or meat or anything like that. But then I would eat rices and things of that nature, and I would cook the meat for him. So when I divorced him, I went back to raw again. So I've been now raw again for 6 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And raw is the living food, no cooked food. A lot of people think you eat raw meat. No, it's all vegetables, very little fruit. And you have to sprout and grow, make your own. I make my own ketchup. I make my own everything. I don't have to buy anything. Just make everything, mustard, anything by yourself. You don't need to get anything from the stores with all the dyes and things in it. So I've been living the living lifestyle now for 6 years down here.
How did you learn this?
I go online. Yeah, if I want to make a recipe, I just Google how to make raw oatmeal cookies. I just made raw corn chips. How to make raw cheesecakes. Everything's up on the web. Everything.
Raw cheesecakes?
Oh, my goodness, so delicious. Yes.
What's in a raw cheesecake?
You have to use coconut. You have to use a lot of almonds. And if you're going to make, you can put blueberries in it. You whip it up till it gets really thick. Then you put it in the freezer, let it freeze.
I see.
With the bottom crust would be your nuts and things like that. Oh, you'd be amazed at the deliciousness. Because, you know, Ione's is here in Sarasota. Everything there is raw.
What is here?
Ione's.
What is Ione's?
It's a raw restaurant.
Really?
Right here in Sarasota.
Wow.
Fabulous. Beauty of Sprouts, another raw restaurant.
Here?
Right on Fruitvale.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. They have raw pizzas, raw everything. Raw cheese. Their raw cheesecake has got to be the best cheesecake besides Patty Foley's cheesecake. She makes the best. She made raw pumpkin pie for me. Every year I do a raw, I belong to a meetup group, Suncoast mm-hmm. Living, and we do a raw potluck at my house every year.
Yes, I came with food. With,
that's
with
right,
food.
You
I
did.
Can't believe it. I came with cooked food. And what was really funny about that was I was so horrified that I took it back into the car. But then I met a couple of people at your party and were looking for cooked food, and I thought, oh, I'm really sorry, I put it in the car.
Oh, yeah, everything there is raw.
Raw, right.
Didn't you think it was good, though?
Yeah, it's great.
Good, good.
Yeah, it's great. I just wasn't... I just made a mistake.
That's okay. You think I'm bringing something cooked? I'm like, okay.
Yeah, right.
I don't care. Yeah. But those people, they're raw.
No, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
That's my meetup group.
Yeah.
That's why you came. Yeah.
I did. So, and next year I'll come with something
with
raw.
Nothing.
Right. I'll come with nothing.
Yeah. Nothing cooked.
No, yeah. Right. Next year I'll come with nothing cooked. Next year I'll bring wine.
Yes. That's
okay.
Of that.
Right. Actually, I brought some wine for that.
Oh, good.
One. Right. Okay, good. So I felt okay because I did bring wine. Okay, good. All right. So, I only ask one other question.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, having given a life to music, which you really have,
mm-hmm.
what would you say about what that's like, what that feels like, what that means to you? Mm-hmm. Anything.
It's nothing like having an audience to hear you, that you share your gift. There's nothing like that. Uh-huh. And they appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like it. Nothing. Yeah. Not even having a lover, a man. Nothing. That is so rewarding to sing and give a gift that you have to share, that's the best. The best.
It's great.
It's best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the great place to stop.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much, Brenda Waddy. Come out and see her. She's absolutely worth it.
Thank you.
There's nothing like giving your gift to an audience and having them appreciate it. There is nothing like it. Well, is that how you feel about your life? That you know your gift? That it's easy for you to spend your life cultivating, using, nourishing, and giving away your gift? Well, of course, the hope of the Lynn Show is that when you listen to somebody like Brenda, you ask yourself, is this my life? Am I living my gift? Am I enjoying my gift and enjoying the fact that I can give it away? Well, if that's true for you, hooray. You know you're not in the majority. But if it's not true for you, if you had to sell out your gift in your childhood, if you had to give away something that was really important to you, something that mattered, that defined you, well, I'm here to tell you it may not be too late to recover it. And it doesn't have to be a talent. It can be a way of being in the world. Were you an outspoken, joyous, exuberant child, and you learned very quickly to shut that down? Well, it may not be too late to recover the exuberance and the joyousness that you came into life with. Were you taught not to cry or get angry? And so you had to stuff that? And are you suffering from that? Because I know you know that if you are sad or angry and you can't express it, that you pay a physical price for that. In any case, if there is something that you feel that you lost, or even something that you want to discover or create, and you want to talk to me about that, you can find me at my website, thelynshow.com, thelynshow. Don't leave the E out of Lynn. And we're going to play another Marvelettes tune now. And that's another big smash for the Marvelettes. That is Beechwood 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. So here, the Marvelettes. Hope that you heard something in this show that you can use. Something that inspired you to ask yourself if you have some aspect, some quality, some talent, some interest that you haven't been able to make use of. Something that actually belongs to you or something you yearned for. And to remind you that it may not be too late to recover or to discover that quality or aspect or attribute or talent or interest so that you can be the person you really are, not some pale version of that person, but the real thing. And of course, when you listen to Brenda, you hear what vibrant is, what alive is, what passionate is, what the real thing is. If you have decided that there is an aspect, a quality, an interest, a curiosity, something that you would like to explore, and you'd like to talk to me about that, again, my website is thelynshow.com. That's thelynne. Don't leave the E out of Lynn. thelynshow.com. And you click on the email tab, ask me any question you want. Or you could get me to come and talk to your group or organization. Or listen to me read the first chapter of my book. When you can, you will. So I hope that you got inspiration. But if you didn't get inspiration, then I hope that you enjoyed listening to those wonderful old songs, or hearing Brenda's interesting and compelling story, or that you've been intrigued enough to come down to see the girl groups of the 60s at WBTT and to see Brenda and see her live and hear her stories and hear her sing, because she's a treat and so well worth experiencing. In any case, I hope that you heard something that will bring you back, because as always, I will be back next week, same time, same station, and as always, I sure hope you will be too.
My time has come and gone on.
Won't I please get off the stage? Let someone else get on. Will I won't be relegated or leave without a fight. No, I will not go gentle into that good night. I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Life's a bell I keep on ringing, not a chime that I once rang. You may think it's unseemly. Well, I don't give a dang. No, I won't go with a whimper. I am going with a bang. Rising from the ashes every chance I get. I may be running out of time, but it ain't over yet. 'Cause me and Sister Phoenix, we won't give up the flight. No, no, we will not go gentle into that good night. And I won't go with a whimper. I'm going with a bang. Life's a song I keep on singing, not a tune that I once sang. I may not be as juicy, hell, but I still got some tang. So you won't hear me simper. I may have gotten